Relationships are best when God rules. I want to say that again. Relationships are best when God rules. I suspect that most of the folks here and at home are familiar with what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is a model prayer, where it says in part, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And I want you to understand that relationships are best when God rules. The kingdom of God. Dallas Willard, who grew up in Buffalo, Missouri, one of the great philosophers, now with Jesus, Dallas Willard said, "The kingdom of God is where what God wants done is done." Oh, I love the simplicity of that. Where what God wants done is done. Today and for the next two Sundays, God willing, after today, I'm going to be sharing with you a short series titled God's House Rules. This message first came into my heart in 1999, and I have shared this message several times, often with the same people, because relationships are the stuff of life. And the problems that we have in life, usually, if not always, comes back to relationships. So if we could make progress, if we could move forward in our relationships and they be stronger and better, then I would suggest to you that our lives would take a strong turn for the better. God's house rules. Now, I think you probably understand the idea of house rules. Everybody under the sound of my voice, if you live in a home or if you grew up in a home, there were some house rules. For example, in my home, my mother, Thelma Ballou, was the disciplinarian of the family. She was a school teacher and later worked for the Division of Family Services. But she ruled pretty well in our home. And there were rules that we had. And one of them was very simple. If you're going to go somewhere, leave a note, so we can know where you are. Now, isn't that a simple rule? But I'm telling you, if you didn't do that, it caused some anxiety. And so when I got married to my sweet wife, and she grew up in a different household, the Mabe family, they didn't have that house rule. And so she would go off, and I'd come in the house, and it's like, "Where's Debbie?" And I'd look around, no note. There's supposed to be a note when you're gone. See, house rules, house rules. Why do people have house rules? So things will function better. Now, the messages that I'll bring you are addressed to the church. So let me mark that down in your mind. These are God's house rules for His house. God's house rule for the church. But having said that, I will tell you, they are precious and powerful in a marriage relationship. They are precious and powerful in friendships, in work relationships, in recreational relationships, God's house rule. So if you have some form of the scripture, I'm going to invite you to turn with me today to Philippians, and we're going to look at just about three or four verses of scripture, and honestly, we're going to spend almost all of our time in one verse. And some of you have not perhaps ever been with me, so I will tell you, I encourage you, if you have a copy of scripture, to open it and keep it open. Now, if you don't have, no problem. No problem. The scripture will be up on the screens in a little bit and in your homes as well. But I believe with all my heart that the book that I hold here is God's house rules, and specifically that when we come to Paul's letters, this one to the church in Philippi, and also to Ephesians and other letters as well, we find that God does not leave us in the dark when it comes to how to have good relationships. Now, let me say it again. Relationships are best when God rules. I always kind of like to have that sermon in a sentence because some people can have shorter attention spans than others. And so just in case, that's the sermon in a sentence. Relationships are best when God rules. So today I'm going to share with you house rule number one. You'll get it in just a little bit, and it's easy to remember. And next Sunday, God willing, house rule number two. And then on the day that we open up for a good number of people to join us here, we will have the final ones, one of those. So Philippians chapter 2, let's listen to what God says. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, pause to say, he's talking about relationships. And I'll come back in just a moment and touch briefly on that. But verse 3, crucially important today, let nothing. So everybody say nothing. We're going to do that one more time. Everybody say nothing. Okay. And all of you at home, I hope you said that as well. But let me read it again. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, chapter 2, Philippians. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. God's house rules. A couple of preliminary things I need to say. Number one, I want to say that in the translation I'm reading from, which is the New King James Version, it reads as I just read it, if there is any consolation in Christ, and so on. It uses the language of if. But the meaning is captured better by this word, since. In other words, since you have experienced the encouragement of Jesus Christ, since you have experienced the comfort of love, since you have experience the fellowship of the Spirit, since you have the same love and one accord and one mind. Since all of that is true, that's the foundation. Why do I say that? Somebody listening to me may not be yet in the family of God. Somebody listening to me may be seeking to do life on your own, using your own brain and your own energy and whatever the case may be, and you're finding out along the way that it's not easy, it may not even be possible to have the kind of relationship you've wanted, whatever that relationship may be. Why? Because, listen to me, we desperately need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to do what God wants us to do. It's not only hard, it's impossible apart from the work of the Lord. So if you are hearing me today and you are not in the family of God, you know that you're not in the family of God, I will tell you that the way that happens is you hear the word. You already heard it from Zachary this morning, that Christ died for our sins and was buried, but he didn't stay buried. Up from the grave he arose. And you hear that story of how God from creation to restoration is at work to get his family back. And you hear that, and the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and convicts you in your heart that something's wrong. And then the Father begins to draw you to the Son. And the day comes, whether you physically get on your knees or not, the day comes that you bow before God and you say, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. And right now, I ask for forgiveness. And right now, I ask Jesus to come into my life and give me eternal life. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And I'm ready to stand and say, Jesus is Lord, which is what Zachary was doing this morning. And then you'll be ready for God's house rules. Could these house rules be beneficial to people outside the family of God? They can. They can. But relationships are best when God rules. And God rules when Jesus is Lord of our life. Now, with that in mind, let's go to this crucial verse number 3. Let nothing happen. Oh, underscore that in your mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So Paul starts here with negatives. He said, listen, there are things you can do and ways that you can live that don't work. They don't work. And he said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. And I want you to know that what he is recognizing there is that, listen, there are enemies to good relationships. There are enemies, starting with the devil himself. He does not want us to have good relationships. You know why? Because a good relationship reflects something of the relationship that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have. God exists in perfect relationship. It's not just a solitary being with no relationships. No, one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we are in healthy relationships, we begin to reflect something of our nature as those who are in the image of God. But there are enemies, and the enemy is the devil himself. But listen to me. Here's what I battle. What I battle most are the enemies within myself. The enemies within myself. I want you to understand that as we look at what we are called to do in the house of God, he begins by saying, let us not do anything with selfishness or with conceit. Those two enemies of our soul will always, always, always cause us great problem in the people of God. So here's what I want you to say. Hey, let me go ahead and give you the first of God's house rules. You ready? You can write it down, but you don't have to because you're going to remember this one. Before I tell you, I want you to know something. The minute I say it, you're going to say impossible. The minute I say it, you're going to say, yeah, right. So here it is. You ready? Always think well of others. You say, are you kidding me? We're Americans. Nobody thinks well of anybody others now. Well, it's about the truth, isn't it? But here's what I'm saying to you. That if you want God to rule in your heart and in your life, and if you want God to rule in your church, and if you want God to rule in your marriage or any other relationship, it begins with this house rule. Always think well of others. The word that's used in the text, and if you saw it, it's the word, in my translation, it's the word esteem. Let me show you again, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others. So, what we are called to do is we are called to always think well of others. You say, that's not possible. You know what? I realize there can be exceptions. You're not going to think well of a serial murderer, for example. But I will tell you what you can do. You can discipline yourself. You can bring your thoughts captive to Jesus Christ. That's scriptural. And you can begin to see a lifestyle that is committed to thinking well of others. A fellow church member, a spouse, think well of others. My sweet wife Debbie and I, hi Debbie, my sweet wife Debbie and I will celebrate, God willing, on the 30th of August, our 51st wedding anniversary. Now I've got news for you. If my sweetheart wanted to think badly of me this morning, she could. You all know that? I mean, I've got some flaws. They're fairly significant. And she knows every one of them. And they show up. I'm absent-minded. I'm forgetful, and that's getting worse. I mean, I got these things, and there are some worse than that I'm not going to tell you. So I got these flaws, and she knows them. So hear me now. Hear me, people. My sweet wife could spend this morning while I'm gone thinking about everything she struggles with when it comes to me. But you know what? She won't do that because she thinks well of me. And that's a choice that she's made, and I think well of her, and that's absolutely the truth. Would there be things that we could critique? We could, but it's not as profitable as thinking well of others. So always think well of others. Now, to do that, there's two things that's going to have to happen. You ready? Here's the two things that's going to have to happen. Number one, you got to deal with these enemies within. Selfishness is not out there, it's in here. Conceit is not out there, it's in here. I mean, the reality is, in any relationship and any conversation, we usually think we're right. Can you say amen to that? Of course we do. And that means the other person is wrong. And so selfishness and selfish ambition and conceit can dominate our lives. You've got to deal with those. Now you say, how will I know? How will I know when selfish ambition has become a part of my life? And I will tell you that the way you know that is this. You know that when you get irritated at the other person. You know that when you're tempted to think ill of the other person. The moment that starts, you need to say right then, I got an enemy on the inside and I'm going to have to deal with it. Folks, I believe this from the bottom of my heart. I believe that selfishness is one of the great destroyers of healthy relationships. Conceit, sometimes called arrogance, a destroyer of relationships. We're going to get to the positive in a moment, but I simply want you to know, you're going to have to deal with the enemies within, and you're going to see them precisely when you think you're right and they're wrong, and suddenly you begin to think badly of that other person. You begin to think ill of that other person. In that moment of time, stop and say, what's going wrong inside me? Inside me. A man, a Christian businessman named Howard Butt, wrote an article called The Art of Being a Big Shot. Here's what he said. He said, it is my pride that makes me independent of God. It's appealing to me to feel that I am the master of my fate, that I run my own life, call my own shots, go it alone. But that feeling is basic dishonesty. I can't go it alone. I have to get help from other people, and I can't ultimately rely on myself. I'm dependent upon God for my next breath. It is dishonest of me to pretend that I am anything but a man, small, weak, and limited. Oh, do you hear that? Small, weak, and limited. So living independent of God is self-delusion. It's not just a matter of pride being an unfortunate little trait and humility and attractive little virtue. It is my inner psychological integrity that is at stake. When I am conceited, I am lying to myself about what I am. I am pretending to be God and not man. My pride, this sentence is a good one. My pride is the idolatrous worship of myself, and that is the national religion of hell. Talking about selfish and deal with the enemies, talking about conceit. Now, he doesn't leave us there. We've got to deal with the enemies within. But look at this, and it's good news. In verse 3 again, he said, in lowliness of mind, you can just write down the word humility there. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Works the same way with the ladies. Works the same way. So you could read that. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than herself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, her own interest, but also for the interest of others. So what we've said is God's house rule is this. Always think well of others. Always think well of others. But in order to do that, I got to do two things. One, deal honestly with the enemies within me, and they're there. And here's this one. Listen carefully, my brothers and sisters. Deal humbly with the people around me. I could have said deal gently. I could have said deal graciously. I could have said deal charitably. But I think this is an accurate understanding of the text to say deal humbly with the people around me. Always saying, I could be wrong. Always willing to yield, as James speaks about godly wisdom in his little letter. I need a humble mind as I work to maintain strong and healthy relationships. Now, I want to touch on something. To say always think well of others does not mean always condone their behavior. Please hear me. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you don't sometimes need to confront in love. You do. But it means that the bent of your mind is toward always thinking well of others and doing so by dealing honestly with the enemies within you and dealing humbly with the people around you. To say, I'll choose to view you not by your behavior, but by who you are as a child created by God. If you're a Christian, but as one created by God, even if you're not a Christian, I'll choose to see you as God sees you. I'll not see you in terms of your problem. I'll see you in terms of your possibility. And I recognize and know that if I deal with those things that are enemies of my soul and my relationships, and if I deal humbly with the people around me, I'll see an improvement in our relationship. Always think well of others. Practice it. I want to say again, we're not going to make it to perfection. If you think you're there, ask somebody near you, and they'll immediately let you know, no, you've not made it yet. I don't expect that, and I don't think we can expect that in this life. There was one who was perfect in relationships, and they killed him. His name's Jesus. But the reality is, listen to me, every child of God can make progress toward that goal of always thinking well of others. You practice that. And when you catch yourself not thinking well of others, then stop that kind of thinking. Hear me. Many relationships are being destroyed by stinking thinking. Because what goes on in your brain throughout the day is going to come out in other ways over time. I will also tell you this. If you'll start practicing this today, listen to me, you that are in the home. Start practicing this today. You are here. Think well of others. Think well of those closest to you that sometimes the hardest to think well of. Think well of others. Start today. Can I guarantee you your relationship will be better in a week? No. But I can make some promises. I can promise you that if you will start today and you'll start thinking well of others, a week from now you'll be different. I guarantee that. You who have been thinking and running those stories and those things through your mind that are negative and that are demeaning and that are thinking ill of other people's, if you can stop that for 7 days, you'll be different in a week's time. And I can promise you that. I can promise you that if you will do that, if you will begin to think well of others, you will have pleased Jesus more in this coming week than perhaps in any week of your life. I would suggest to you one other thing, and this is so important. If you'll start thinking well of others, you may set them free to be better. Can I say that again? Because this is important. If you'll start thinking well of others, you may set them free to be better. Oftentimes, we lock people into an image, into an idea, and once they're there, we don't ever change the way we look at them. It's called, in some circles, a confirmation bias. We think that this is who you are and this is how you act and you're never going to change and you're always going to be untrustworthy and you're always going to be this and you're always going to be that. And in doing so, we bind them to that behavior. But learn to think well of others. You may very well set them free to become better. Relationships are best when God rules. Always think well of others. I had a thought yesterday. I don't think I've ever thought this thought before. That marriage problems are first mental problems. Marriage problems are first mental problems. In other words, what's going on in your mind? You learn to mind your mind. Pay attention to it. And always think well of others. And when you find yourself going down that same old track, that rut, you know what a rut is? It's a grave with the ends kicked out. You find yourself going down that same rut. Stop! And simply change your thinking through the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Always think well of others. And again, if you've not given your life to Jesus, today's a great day to do exactly that. Let me pray with you. Well, Lord, there's some mighty fine people here, And there's a lot of fine people watching elsewhere. And I pray for the blessing of heaven to be upon this word. Father, I believe that what I've spoken is rooted in your word. Because Paul said clearly, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Always think well of others. We esteem people in our mind. It starts there. And Father, I repent of every time that my mind moves to the negative. Help me to always think well of others and perhaps set them free to become exactly the person you intended them to be all along. And Father, to set myself free, because I am in bondage when I am thinking bad thoughts of others. Help us, Lord, to always think well of others and to remember relationships are best when God rules. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Make a commitment.